Amen. Because if we as a body of believers of the church worldwide stay in this plane of this earthly realm, right, you are open to deception. Because your mind, your will, and your soul man, which has a voice, can deceive you. Your heart, which is deceptively wicked above all things, can deceive you. There's only one truth in this world. His name is Jesus Christ. And I have to bring alignment of my mind and alignment of my soul and alignment of my will to that which is where he's spoken, that which he's decreed, and that which he's declared to have breakthrough in my life. Is there any Christian in here this morning that doesn't want to see the favor of the Lord on their life? Who wants to see the favor of God on their life? The favor of God on your life is not so you can get some things. Not at all. Even though he blesses those who's got favor, you can't stop that because he's a blessed God who blesses. But the favor of God is really to make you an influence to this nation, this world. To make you an influencer. The dilemma we're living in today in the body of Christ is that it's been influenced. Influenced. And we, as a people of God, need to shake off this earthly realm, shake off this carnal mind thinking, shake off this mentality of being led by my soul, and get in the things of the Spirit afresh. Amen. And be led by the Spirit. For you have been given the mind of... It's available. Amen. So the title of my message this morning, which is upside down in my book. Oh, no, it's not. The title of my message this morning is The Favor of the Influencer. In the Bible, it shows me many men that had favor of God. And women, but many men had favor of God. And it's not that they did things to get that favor so much, it's that they just God imposed it upon them and it changed them. Amen. Kings chapter 9, I believe. Kings chapter 9, verse 1 to 4. It says, as soon as Solomon... It's funny that, because I never do that font, so I don't know how this comes about. It says, as soon as Solomon had finished building, Solomon was building the temple. David had left him instruction how to build the temple. He gave him all the things to build the temple, all the gold, all the silver, all the wood. Everything he needed was supplied to him. He had to build it. So he finished the temple. He built the temple. Great little study if you want to get into it. Solomon's temple was only half the size of Solomon's house. That's how much he thought of his God. Finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to build. And the Lord appeared to Solomon. I want you to just meditate on that. The Lord appeared to him. The Lord appeared to Solomon a second time. And as he appeared to him at Gibeon, and the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your plea. What was his prayer and plea? Lord, give us the wisdom to lead your people. And he says, you will have all the wisdom you need, and I will give you this. I have consecrated this house that you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there forever, all the time. And as for you, I will walk, if you will walk before me. Now, look at that little word. If. Right? If you will walk before me as your father David walked. Here's the two keys. With integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I've commanded you. The doing of the integrity is character. Character is the doing. The integrity is the laws and the things that God has placed in my life to live by. Moral laws, moral principles is the integrity. Amen? And keeping my statutes and my rules. If you do that, you'll have someone rule in your house forever. But if you don't, that's the if. If you don't, I will establish you a royal throne of Israel forever, and I promised David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you turn aside from following me, you and your children, and do not keep the commandments and my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land. God's very black and white, isn't he? There's no gray in him. There's no if, maybes, could-haves, should-haves. There's just black and white. I will give them a house, and they are consecrated for my name. I will cast out of my sight. That I will consecrate for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will become a proverb and a byword among the peoples. Just like that. What he's looking for in this day, as much as that day, is a priesthood that have integrity of heart and the character to do. Integrity of heart and the character to do. 1 Corinthians says you're a living epistle, being able to be read by all men. He's written the Lord's on your heart, the tablets of your heart. So the Holy Ghost is forever writing and showing you things and revealing your heart, what is right and what is wrong. And the Bible also says this, and your conscience should be a witness to that. Amen? Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, 26 to 30. It says this, in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent to God in the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. Greetings, O what? Have you ever thought what made her favored? What made her favored? There's lots of virgins. There's lots of virgins. What made her favored? God was with her. Yeah, he was. But why? O favored one of the Lord. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and then to discern what sort of greeting this might be in. And the angel Gabriel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. How? She was from the line of David, but there's lots of people in the line of David. Thousands. Why? Integrity of her heart. She believed the word, even though she couldn't understand it. She opened her faith to believe, even to the cost of her integrity. What would people say to a young girl, not married and pregnant? Don't you think she thought of all this? Of course, yeah, they would have killed her. But she said, according to your word, let it be. She believed the Lord more than what the world could do. Therefore, she had an integrity of heart to the things of the word of God. Footnote hint. The church today, the body of Christ, I'm not sure what matters the church. I think we've got a great church. The body of Christ today must adhere to the word that is spoken, regardless of what the world might think. No matter what the world might think. I've got to believe what he's declared. I've got to declare what that was a handwritten delivery from God himself to her. Do you know God's given us a handwritten delivery every day of my life? Every day of my life. All he wants me to do is allow this word to find faith. She allowed that word, and all of a sudden seed dropped in her. When the Lord drew you, because the word begets you. You've been begotten by the word. Is that what it says? It does say that. James, you've been begotten by the word. Once that word begets you, once that word finds a womb of faith in you, you become pregnant with something. You and I become pregnant with something in the spirit. knowing that's been your born again experience is when the word hit your spirit, you hit your womb of faith that even he give you, because that faith is not of yourself, it's a gift from God. Even the faith you even believed in him was a gift from him. There is nothing I did to get saved. It was all him. I didn't find Jesus. He wasn't lost. He found me. I was lost. So this word then gets impregnated into my spirit, man, and I use the terminology, we got born again. Amen? That's what it means by you getting born again. It wasn't something you thought it was a good decision. It wasn't something you said, yeah, all right, I believe that, I'll do it. No, no, no. You are provoked by the Holy Ghost. You are provoked by the Holy Ghost. He illuminated the word, brought conviction to your soul, because even a dead man's soul can't be convicted unless it's illuminated by God. The carnal man can do anything. His whole demeanor is bent towards sin. His thinking, his walk, his actions is sin. But when you get an illumination by the Holy Ghost, you are a brand new creation. Favor is from the Greek word charis, meaning this, the affection of God towards you. That then releases an influence through you. So to be an influencer, I must first attract the attention of my God. Just like this woman, Mary. The dilemma is, the Bible also says this, your heart is deceptively wicked. Amen? Therefore, it's up to me to allow the Spirit to break up the fallow ground of my heart. This is when we resist the things of the Holy Ghost. The angel Gabriel visits Mary and declares, highly favored one. When you get a visitation from God, you're different. I'm going to say that again. When you get a visitation from God, you are different. It leaves you different. She became pregnant with the word and promise. James 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. Who's the word of truth? Jesus. That you should be a what kind of first fruits of his creatures. Other translation says he brought you forth. When his word hits my enlightened womb of faith, something's conceived in the Holy Ghost. That's why you can go to Colossians and say things like this. Christ in you, the hope of. The Christ in you. The hope of glory. Turn with me to 1 John. I've got to get my glasses on. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was what? In the beginning was the Word. Luke 1:22. Zacharias, I've spoke about Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He didn't believe what the angel of the Lord said to him. What did God do? Struck him dumb. Why? Because your words can abort the promises of God. So he struck him dumb. Your words can abort the promises of God. So God struck him. Zip your lip. And sometimes, you know, our words can beget or our words can abort. Life and death are in the power of the... That's how we say it. That's right. Right? Luke 1:20, John the Baptist, Zacharias. John 6, Peter declares, where can I go, Lord, for you have the words of... You have the words of life. Yet we just read what had happened. It says many no longer followed him. For this saying was too hard, unless you eat my body and drink my blood. He was speaking to Jews. And they say, oh, this disciples, ah, oh, this saying's too hard for us. And they left. Is Peter a Jew? Would he have been offended? Would a Jew be offended if you told him to drink blood? Of course he was. It was against the commandments of the Lord. Leviticus, do not drink blood. Because life is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. Life is in the blood. Do not drink blood. It's abomination. That's when I read that, I stopped eating black pudding. I used to love black pudding. Because it was made of all blood. With spices. Anyway, let's get back to the story. So, Peter was offended. Peter was as offended as any other Jew would have been offended. But he knew something that he had to have. Where can I go? Because you have the words of life. Jesus, I'm not following you because of your personality. And he certainly wasn't following because of his good looks, because it says in Isaiah that he was a man that was uncomely. He followed him for one reason. What's coming out of your mouth? I need what's coming out of your mouth. I need to get in the presence of the Lord to hear the voice of God, to hear what's coming out of his mouth. Does sometimes what God says to me offend me? Didn't he say offenses will come? Yeah. Church, don't look at the world for the offenses. They're right here. They're in the house. Offenses will come. He will offend. He will push my button. He will say to me, enough of that. He will say to me, overcome that. Don't touch that. Don't eat that. Don't drink that. Sanctify yourself. And all of that thing that he's doing in our lives, that work he's doing by the Holy Ghost, is trying to bring integrity of heart. He's building something in you and I to bring integrity of heart, because he needs the people separate. He needs a priesthood that is no longer playing on the outer court. He needs them to get into the revelation of the things of the Spirit. And therefore, to get into that place, I must have an integral heart with him. And therefore, walking in character, demonstrating that integrity, demonstrating the principles of God. Once I'm demonstrating those things, guess what? God's eye looks upon you. He sees someone. He sees someone that's prepared to walk by faith. He sees someone that is prepared to be obedient. He's seeing someone that will be separated from the earth or separated from the world and become a peculiar person. Yeah. Do you know, my son-in-law sent me a little clip. Now hear my heart. Please hear my heart here. I'm not bagging church. I love the church. I love the church. But we have made some grave mistakes. Grave mistakes. Things like seeker-sensitive services. The world don't seek him. They never will seek him. The only way they can get to Jesus is if the Father draws them. The only seekers that there is should be in the church. Those who are already saved should be seeking God. Come on. So adapting a church service for a lost person is absolutely ridiculous. Doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we don't nurture them. It doesn't mean we don't disciple. Doesn't mean all that. Doesn't mean we don't be normal. It's perfectly normal to be spiritual, but it's perfectly spiritual to be normal. We've got to be normal. No weirdo, wacko, woo, stuff out there. No, we're not into that. But it's all right to be spiritual. When one seeks the favor of God, which releases the influence through you, it places a demand on you to speak right and to walk right. If you and I want to see the favor of God to be an influencer in this day, to influence your family, to influence your kids, to influence your neighborhood or whatever where you are, your workplace, if you want to be an influencer, you need the favor of God. The favor of God will open doors that no man can shut. The favor of God can position you in a position you don't deserve. The favor of God can break chains. The favor of God will give you peace in the midst of your prison. Hello, Joseph. You will never see Joseph ever bag Potiphar. You'll never see Joseph ever bag the jailer. And he says everywhere he went, he walked with the favor of, and the favor of God then released an influence in him that he became the head of Potiphar's house. He became a head in his prison because he was a man of the integrity of his heart. He refused to allow words to be released that could stop the integrity of God working in him. And then he was bold enough to allow the character to come forth. Tell me your dream. I'll give you an interpretation if the Lord gives it to me. God needs a people that have such integrity of heart, that integrity has been molded and shaped and designed by the Holy Ghost to lead you into a place that you can be loving enough, yet strong enough to say no when you need to say no. And never, ever, ever bend the standard of the Lord to suit a situation. Are you with me? If I want to come into that place of revelation, if I want to come into that place of illumination and partake of his bread, going past the place of worship, going past the place of sacrifice, Hebrews 6 will say this, therefore leaving the elementary, the outer court's the elementary place. Leaving the elementary things, let us go on, he says. So we have to go on. There's always a going on in the things of the Spirit of God. Let us go on then unto a perfect man, a mature man. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Next slide, please. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for whatever desires to love life and seek good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Psalm 34 and 11 says, to 13 says this, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you of the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Joseph knew how to control his tongue. Even in his prison, he knew how to control his tongue. But he also knew this. The Lord knew where he was. How? Favor. Ephesians 4:31 says this, that all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, which is slander, put away from you with all malice, which is evil behavior. Put it away from you. Who is he talking to here? He's talking to the church. He ain't talking to the lost. He ain't talking to the marketplace in Ephesus. He's talking to the church. Genesis 39:2-6:20, Joseph's integrity and character caused him to have favor with God and man. He had favor with God. Did he have favor with man? Did he have favor with Potiphar? Did he have favor with the jailer? Yes, he did. The favor of God upon your life gives you favor with God, but also puts you in steadfastness to have favor with man. Where you can be blessed so much, and you don't even know why. He will open a door, and you think, God, I'm not qualified for this, but he's opened the door. Favor. Favor. Oh, look at this one. Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. Psalm 89, verse 17, for you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn, our strength and honor is exalted. Strength and honor exalted by his favor upon your life. If I want to see his favor in and on my life and exercise influence, I need to grow in two principles in my life. This is how we do it. I need to grow in two principles in my life, the spoken word and the silent voice. I need to be a person of the word. I need to be a person of the word. I might carry two profound voices that can cause me to grow in stature with favor, and they are integrity of heart and my character, my spoken word. The inner silent voice, my conviction, my principles, all been designed, all been manufactured by the word of God and by the Lord himself, that I might be adherent and obedient to the principles of God. God doesn't give his commandments for the sake of giving commandments. He expects them to be obeyed. Amen. Two voices. Next one. Integrity. What is it? It's one's morals principles that establishes a standard and a conviction of one's heart and conscience. And it has to be fashioned and formed by the Holy Ghost. But if you do not read your Bible, Thessalonians says this, there's another one that can be seated on the throne in the temple. That's a prophetic thing about the Lord. But I'm going to tell you another one that can be in another temple. You. And the throne is your heart. And if he's not sitting upon the throne of my heart, another will. Usually myself. Integrity. Must be shaped, developed, and established by the word. It's the type of the heart that attracts God. This type of heart attracts God. I.e., God's eyes are looking to and fro across the earth, looking for a man, a woman with an integral heart that he can pour out and he can work with his spirit. That are unafraid, just like Mary. Unafraid. He can birth something in them and through them because they have integrity of heart. And not just God wants that. The world wants that. Because they had favor with God and man. In business dealings, Christians should have integrity of heart. And their word should be their bond. Come on. Their character. In fact, the Bible says that if you promise something or make a vow, you pay it even at your own expense. That's why also it says in Proverbs, a wise man speaks how many words? Very few. Integrity of heart. Character is the outward demonstration of those principles at all costs. Our integrity and character are the silent voices that speak and show who we are to those who we are surrounded by. So your family know your integrity. It's speaking. Every day of your life, it's speaking on your behalf. Your family should know your integrity. Then they want to see the demonstration of the character. Are you going to do what you said? When one's heart's integrity is built upon the word of God and its standards, our character then reveals those standards and truth, regardless of circumstance. Regardless of the circumstance. And hear me, the church is going to come into that day one day. When tribulation starts occurring, the church as a whole is going to come into that day. Where the question will be asked, do you believe in Jesus? There's nothing new under the sun. It happened in the Roman Empire. And the seven roads to Rome were littered with martyrs. There's nothing new under the sun. In fact, if you read the book of Revelations, it says this, the martyrs cried out, Lord, avenge our blood, Lord, avenge our blood. Remember that? He said, wait, for there's more of you to come. More martyrs. And martyrs are getting done every day around the world. I'm going to India in February. Last year, he lost 4 pastors. Slaughtered, cut to ribbons. 4 of them. Wives. Yeah, he had another 10 ready to go. Our character then reveals those standards and truth regardless of the circumstance. Whether good or bad, you will find favor with God no matter what the circumstance. Hello, Joseph. No matter what my circumstance, God, let my character and my integrity stand for you. It's easy when things are going well. It's so easy to shout hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord, glory to God, Mitsubishi, Suzuki, Hyundai, Honda. It's easy to say all that. It's when the rubber hits the road and you're alone. How's my integrity then? How's my character then? God, a man required of me, if I am to be an influence in these days, last one. So character will always act. It's an action. When I'm afraid, I'll do what is right. When I'm not afraid, I'll still do what is right. When I'm among Christians, I'll do what is right. When I'm not among Christians, I'll do what is right. When my friends stand with me, I'll do what is right. When my friends attack me, I'll still do what is right. When my wife argues with me, I'll do what is right. When my husband bugs me, I'll do what is right. Hallelujah. You need to read the list again. When my friends gossip and put me down, I'll do what is right. When things are easy, I'll do what is right. When it's hard, I'll do what's right. When I'm alone and nobody's around me, I'll do what is right. When I'm in a crowd, I'll do what is right. Doing what the Lord desires, that should be desires, is right and true, reveals his character in every situation. Amen. If I want to walk into that, from the outer court into that inner place, I must go through the veil, the first door, first curtain. I must. Job 27 says this, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. 27:5, far be it from me that I should say you are right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. Was Job a good man? He had a heart of integrity. I will refuse to let my integrity leave me. Job 27:6, my righteousness I hold and I will not let go. My heart shall not reproach. For as long as I live, I refuse to let it go. Proverbs 10:9, he who walks with integrity walks securely. Why? Because you will have the favor of the Lord. You know, in Christendom, you can see some people walk with just a blessing. Have you seen that? I've seen families walk with a blessing. And I'm not talking about material blessings. I'm talking about the peace of God, the love of God, unity in their house, oneness at home, oneness in their marriage, unity. Blessed, favored. God just supplies needs. And I've seen other families absolutely struggle. But it doesn't take long when you hear what's coming out of their mouth to know the reason why. I was at a meeting the other week. I won't tell you where. But this man got up to preach, and the vulgarities that came out of his mouth to be relevant, thinking it's okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, it's not okay. God's coming back for a holy bride. And me allowing my mouth to run off like the world's mouth and have vulgarness coming out of it like that doesn't prove anything. But adherence to the principles of God to say, Lord, circumcise my lips. Cleanse my heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, what's speaking? So if the vulgarities are coming out of his mouth, what's resident in his heart? Favor makes room for you. Favor opens doors for you. Favor can reposition you. Favor protects you like a shield. Favor is the affection of God towards you that then releases influence through you. Because the world can see his favor on you. I don't know about you. I don't think the world needs another sermon. It can just turn on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram. I didn't say a word. I said the word Instagram. You know what it needs to see? The favor of God, the power of God in your life. That you are an influencer in your position you're in, by word and by deed, to lift up the standard of the Lord. I met at Australia Post when I came back to the Lord. My workshop in them days, they had just had posters of all ladies around the room, everywhere. Lunchtime, lunchroom. I said, God, this is not good. No, I wouldn't stay in the lunchroom. I'd have lunch at my desk. And they say, Dave, come on in. I said, I'm not coming in. Not until you take that down. No. I'm a prude. Anyway, I said, Lord, we need to deal with this. I need to deal with this. I said, I can't make them take it down. I need to deal with this. My boss came down the following week and says, we need to employ an apprentice, a female. I said, thank you, Jesus. So I said, I employed her immediately. I said, oh, I'll show you the lunchroom. I said, boys, there's a lady coming in the room. I said, take it down now. So they had to strip the whole room. God always makes a way. But if you uphold the standard of the Lord, you keep your character intact, it'll change the environment you're in. You and I should be the influencer in this world. Come on. You and I should be the influencer. Not TikTok influencers and what's that? Facebook influencers and YouTube influencers that are getting paid millions of dollars. No. You should be the influencer in your environment. Fathers, you should be the influencer in your home. Mothers should be the influencer of their home. Yeah. Now the question is now, how's my heart? How's my heart? Search me, O God. Teach me your ways. That I may come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. Quick to repent. I'm not saying we'll make mistakes. We'll trip. We'll flunk. We will. But how quick will I get up and restore it? How quick will I not let that thing find root in my life to become a stronghold? Who do I want to please more? Him, who's given me everything. Everything. given you your house, he's given you your kids, he's given you your wife, he's given you everything. He's given you everything. Everything. If he didn't want you to have it, you wouldn't have it. He's given you everything. Is my heart so moved? Like, Ahab, who feared the face of man. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just be in this out of call. I want to enter in. I want to enter into everything he has for my life. You are not here by coincidence and chance. There's an unfinished plan in your life. But it's going to take a man and a woman of the Spirit to bring it to fruition. Man and woman of the Spirit that will lift up the standard of the Lord, his character, lift up the standard of the Lord in the midst of everything that's around him. To be prepared to walk away and to walk out of things that you shouldn't be here, that you shouldn't be looking to or listening to. I remember my kids when they were young. In the old days, you used to get magazines sent to you. Now you just get bombarded with junk mail. But in the old days, you used to get magazines. Yeah, Kmart, Target. My Johnny used to love the magazines. In fact, he'd wait a whole year just for the IKEA magazine. He'd then, big thick ones, he'd like the big thick ones, free. As long as they're free. Yeah. Generous, but sometimes tight. Free, as long as it was free, he'd have it. Yeah, he was the most avid Coles and Woolies taker of advert books. Anyway, so one day the things come in, and they're displaying women's underwear with the women, bras and panties. I says, to Matilda, chuck them out. I said, don't even let them in the house. Christina goes, what? Oh, I said, Dad, I might want to look at that. I said, you can look at it out there. You can look at it out there. It's not coming in my house. Kenny was a bit too young to understand that at the time. But I tell you what, that I know that standard affected him. And I didn't care what others did. I didn't care what other Christians did. I didn't care what their standard was. That's between them and the Lord. I didn't care about that. But for me and my house, that's my standard. Amen. Because it teaches my children to honor the opposite sex. To give them honor and respect. But the church today is getting so desensitized. So many affairs happening. People saying, oh, well, just this week, oh, well, it's all too hard. These words like, I feel we just need to separate. I feel. Well, tell your feelings to feel wrong. You're wrong. Speak to it. And to the point where the church is no different to the world. No different in that area. Yet should it be different? Should the church be different? It should be different. Hallelujah. I'm not jumping on anyone. I want to provoke your heart to get more of the things of God, to be a standard bearer, to be an influencer. So when you walk in the room, they know Smith Wigglesworth could walk into a railway cart, sit down, And within 15 to 20 minutes, unsaved men and women would say, "What must I do?" He hasn't even said a word. "What must I do to be saved?" He carried something. But he would read his word every 15 minutes. Little pocketbook, might be half a verse, might be a line. They saw a difference. And the world needs to see the difference. The difference that it's looking for is the character from the integrity of our hearts. Amen. So sometimes we pray amiss. We say things like this: "Oh God, this world really needs you." It does. But really what we should be saying is this: "Oh God, change me that I can influence the world around me. Are you not the answer? Is he not the answer to the world's problems? Where does he reside? In you." Stop. Don't please stop waiting for this cloud to come down, right, with all these little wingy fairy things coming. It's not going to happen. He's already here. He's in you. He never left me comfortless. His spirit's still here. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells where? Resurrection, life, and power is within you. But it can only flow out of a man and a woman that walks in the integrity and demonstrates the character. Amen. Let's stand. Do you know, when you break through the veil into the holy place, the veil is your flesh, actually. That's what it represents. For the veil between the holy and holies, the holy place, has already been rent by the Lord, because you tore it from the top to the bottom. But the other curtain is your flesh. If you don't know that, you can just read Revelations. It says in the second veil, which is your flesh. Your flesh. "Once I say to my flesh, no more will you lord it over me. I'm going to stand in the character and the integrity of the Word of God. And I'm going to be as obedient as I can. And if I lack it, I'm going to ask for grace. And if I still lack it, I'm going to keep asking for grace to be an overcomer in this world. That then the character of God can be revealed in you and in through me. That the world might behold Christ in you, the hope of glory." Amen. I don't know about you, but I want change. I want change. And I think he's going to keep changing us until the day we die. But I have to lay something on the altar before I can get to the holy place. You can't walk past the altar of sacrifice to get it before you get into the holy place. Therefore, brethren, Romans 12, present your bodies as a living. You know, it would have been a lot easier if he said just dead sacrifice, because you don't have to die once. But a living sacrifice has got to die daily. Present ye your bodies as a... Why present ye your bodies? For sin abounds in your members. It has to be sacrificed. Be holy, for I am holy. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. I'm going to say a very simple prayer. But if you want to join me, you raise your hands. My prayer is going to say, "Lord, change me. Change me. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, Father, that this world might behold you. It's only going to behold you by a large entertainment thing, concerts. It needs to behold you in everyday living. That I might be an influencer in my world. If that's you, you just raise your hands boldly before the throne of God. The Holy Ghost is here. His Spirit is here. Father, first of all, I repent. I repent, Father, for allowing, Father, the standards of the world to creep in into my life and in my heart. Forgive me. Father, help me to bridle my tongue, that out of my belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Help me. Father, this morning, I ask you, create in me a clean heart. Break up the fallow ground of my heart, that your seed will fall on good ground in me. I want to enter in to that new place in you. I want to come up to hear new things in you. Father, I thank you this morning. You said if you confess your sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. I thank you for your forgiveness this morning. I thank you, your mercies are new every morning. Place a hunger for your word in my spirit, and I'll be obedient to it. I ask in the name of Jesus that I first take up your bread every day, that you can guide my steps in this world. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. And I give you all the thanks that you're the God that works all things together for my good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. With every desire to come up higher, there's also an attraction from the dark side to pull you down. Wherever there's a move of the Spirit, you will always see a move of the flesh. And I'm going to be really now nitty-gritty in you. He will come. Jesus said it like this to Peter. Peter, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. But do not be afraid, for I have prayed for you. Do you know the Father, the Lord, is interceding on your behalf every day of your life? And these two shall bear witness. At the mouth of two or three, every word shall be established. The book of Acts, it says this. And the Holy Spirit who intercedes on our behalf. Then it says this later on. And Jesus who intercedes on our behalf. Do you know the Holy, two-thirds of the Godhead are forever interceding on your behalf? Establishing something in the Spirit. Amen. So be of good cheer. You are more than an overcomer. Amen. Now let's break through to enter into that new place in Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. God is good. Amen. God bless you. Gentlemen, cheers.